Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Yo, welcome to Crazy Stupid Podcast.
I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin Doyle.
My name's John Siever.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys are watching romantic comedy.
It's crazy. It's stupid. Part three.
Love. It's love.
Mm-hmm. I forget what... We referred to this movie on a different podcast, and I said crazy stupid, and Corey's like, eyes like... We're like, what? And I was like, what? He's like, I thought you were going to say crazy stupid Asians.
Because
you weren't thinking about that movie.
I wasn't thinking about this movie. I was thinking of Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah.
Should watch at some point.
Yeah, totally.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Crazy stupid Asians.
I was just cracking me up today because you were like legitimately like, whoa. And I was like,
it's called Crazy Rich Asians. Okay. But that's not what we're watching. We're watching
Crazy Stupid Love.
We're watching Crazy Stupid Caucasians.
Crazy Stupid.
From the Caucasus regions.
Aren't most of the main characters in this movie Caucasians?
Yeah, I think all of them.
I think all of them.
Except for Marissa Tomei is Italian.
She is Italian. Mm-hmm. She's from the region of Italia.
She's a Sicilian. She's her cousin is a Vinny.
How come you never call me back?
You come here, you eat my pussy, my buchenta.
You lick my butthole.
And then
You never call me back.
And your son is an asshole. That's Marissa Tomei in this. She actually has a regular voice. This movie... I don't know.
I'm loving it. To be honest,
it might get the award for best story so far.
I think this one kind of came out of the blue for us in our rom-com expectations.
Yeah.
What does this movie and McDonald's have in common?
I'm just loving it.
Yeah. I'm loving it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Please don't sue us, McDonald's.
No, please sponsor us.
Please sponsor us. I love a McDonald's ice cream cone. So good.
Very good. You know who came with I'm Loving It?
Pusha T.
Yeah. And JT. I think Justin Timberlake Justin Timberlake come with some of it too?
I think so. And Pusha T also came up with We Have the Meats.
Did he really? He also did something for Burger King recently.
I met at a party the woman who recorded that.
Wow.
The I'm Loving It song?
Yeah. And I was like, how much did you make? She's like, enough to put my brother and sister and I through college and I'll buy cars. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
Lots of money.
Where'd you meet them?
It was at a party in high school. So she could have just been completely lying.
Well, I want to know.
Was she in high school?
Yeah.
She was in high school?
That's what she said. That's, you know, now that I think about that as a 30-something-year-old man.
If she was in high school.
She was blowing smoke so far up.
If she was in high school and she told you she made enough money to put herself through college.
But when her parents just get that shit?
I mean, yeah, but also how could she have put herself through college?
I was just standing there. I thought, what do I think of when I think? And I said, I'm loving it. They had the cassette tape.
I'm going to look it up. And if it's someone from...
You may look it up right now?
From Winnetka, Illinois, I think she was from, then I'll believe it. If not...
What was her name?
I'll look it up.
I don't remember. It was in high school. A random girl I met at a party.
Was she hot?
Yeah, probably.
Nice.
I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah. She was the dick mentor.
What is that?
Oh, you don't know about Dick Mentors?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sorry. I was like, it sounds like, when you say it like that, it sounds like a fantasy thing. Like, oh, you have to go through.
He wasn't there.
You have to go through.
I know he wasn't there.
Did you tell him?
No.
You don't know what it is.
Oh, no. I'm thinking
that's what that's the danger. That's honestly the danger in this new format.
I know.
Because listen, we all have to be there for at least part of the movie. But we, you know, there's sometimes where it's like Corey and John.
You know how we could have avoided the danger? You could have just gone along with me saying, I know what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing.
And then you were like, you weren't there, was he?
Hey, here's the showbiz curtain. You don't have to pull it back. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh yeah, the Dick Mentor. Sorry, I thought it was something else. Maybe it is something.
There's no danger if you yes and, Kevin.
I know.
I
don't remember what it is though.
It was the high school student who is training Julie how to pick up older.
That's who it was. I was like, who's the Dick Mentor?
Yeah.
Okay,
keep going.
That's it.
The
it's an inside joke. It's a podcast joke.
Dick Mentor. Dick Mentor is a high school girl who teaches.
I thought Dick Mentor was a football coach. Dick Mentor.
Well, we were trying
to explain what the Dick Mentor is.
We were trying to figure out Steve Carell's babysitter.
I lied. It's not yada da da da. I'm loving it. It's at McDonald's. We love to make you smile. That's the one she said she recorded.
Whoa. I don't even remember that one.
At McDonald's, we like to make you smile.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
It was that one. Sorry.
Is that Barry White on the podcast?
Hey.
So, yeah, Dick Mentor was the girl that she's a high school girl who has sex with older men, and Steve Carell's babysitter went and asked her, like, how do you get older men? And she's like, I have big tits. And then she's like, yeah, but what else do you do? And she's like, goes back and forth and teaches her.
Right.
And then in the description of the plot, we were trying to figure out her name and what her role was. And she like teaches, and I was like, she's like a Dick Mentor. And then John started being like, hi, I'm Dick Mentor, and I'll teach you how to fuck older men.
That's great.
I was like, who is the Dick Mentor? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that's,
well, now I'm caught up. That's good.
I feel like all the listeners just listened to that last week.
I feel like one of the listeners now.
Dude, yeah.
There's great. This is one of the best podcast formats ever, where we recap what happened on our last podcast
to other people.
I mean, it is kind of like how now content is just like cannibalize your own content. We are literally doing podcasts about our podcast.
Can I ask you an honest to God question, Corey?
Yeah, please.
Since you enjoyed that, would you consider joining our Patreon?
Well, I guess it's going to be, hard to join the Patreon and also run it, but I'll do it.
But you know what? I enjoyed that Dick Mentor bit so much. I think I will. Well,
I guess it deserves some of my money.
I'm like deep into McDonald's jingle
lore
slogans right now. Like, I'm like literally reading the slogans that McDonald had in Trinidad and Tobago.
What is it?
I'm loving it.
Give me a Turkish one.
But in Turkey, it's McDonald's Gibisi Yoki.
Cool.
Give me a one from the UK.
There's a difference at McDonald's that you'll enjoy.
There's a difference at McDonald's that you'll enjoy.
Honestly,
food fast. The sign of a good burger is that it's got two lumps of sugar.
Yeah. At Bondi Beach, we like.
Look at this one from winter 2009. That's McDonald's, but cozy.
What?
Is that in America?
No, this is in UK for the Taste of America series in 2009. The slogan for McDonald's in UK was, that's McDonald's with yeehaw.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, we can do a podcast about McDonald's slogans.
What's the first United States one?
Let's eat out.
Let's eat out.
Hell yeah.
1960 and then 60 to
Samantha Jones Samantha wrote Jones. That one. I got a few others for you, sweetie. Oh man, that's
McDonald's. A hole is a hole.
Brought to you by Mr. Pussy.
Brought to you by Mr. Pussy.
Hi, I'm Dick Mentor. See, I'm
good,
in on
yeah,
it.
That's a good
we're
job.
Back. We're in
back.
We're all aligned.
You know what? It was like, it's like the picture in Back to the Future was like getting a little darker and darker. And then when we talked to you about what Dick Mentor is, and then you just did that,
you all stood of a up and
we're
you
fully
said,
back.
You stood up and you said, "No, Biff, leave her alone."
One of you gets on the phone and you're just like, "Hey, you got to hear this podcast. Your kids are going to love it."
Oh, man.
So we're finishing Crazy Stupid. I'm really excited.
Very stoked.
What we talked about is there are a lot of fingers in a lot of pie holes right now.
Yep.
Is that the expression?
That's the expression.
Is that what Dick Mentor does?
I have a friend who lives in Hong Kong. He's from London. I think he says that. He says, "I got a lot of fingers and a lot of pies."
McDonald's. Lots of fingers and lots of pie holes. Yeah.
Come on down to Annie Ann's Pretzels. Put your fingers in some pretzel holes.
Got a lot of fingers and I got a lot of pies.
Hi.
We got to plug up these pies.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
Put a finger in a pie.
Like, do you guys know like the old adage that what was like the worst car that like our parents always talked about? It was like I don't know.
A Pinto?
Yeah.
Like a Ford Pinto or something like that.
It was like a story along with that, but there was something that like this car didn't sell well in some other country and it, like translated to like doesn't go or something.
Oh, was it Yugo?
Yeah.
Was it Yugo? And I think that was like, it was like Yugo. And then, yeah, it was something in like an Eastern European country. It meant like no go or doesn't go. Yeah.
And so I'm loving it. If you translate that into certain other countries, it's finger in a pie.
Finger in a pie. Technique.
Bombing.
We got a lot of fingers and a lot of pies, and I'm just really excited to see what comes out of the oven.
One thing we did say that is really interesting in this one is that we do have, and this is just fingers and pie holes, but we got a lot of crossing storylines.
Yeah.
And a lot of stars.
Let's rip through it real quick. We have Steve Carell and his marriage. Will they get back together?
That's right.
Will Marissa Tomei come back out and be like, Steve, and it's me, the teacher. Yeah.
How will that resolve? Do they become friends?
Right.
Does Marissa Tomei even find like a spark of anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The kid, does he somehow get any sort of resolution with the babysitter?
Yep.
Does the babysitter hook up with Steve Carell?
Yep.
What's going on with Gosling and Emma Stone? What's going on with Emma Stone and Groban?
Yeah.
Sheesh.
But there's a lot. What's going on with Bacon and Moore?
Oh, yeah. Bacon and Moore have that one.
Yeah. Carell's doing dreams about sexy bacon mowing the grass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
A lot going on.
So much going on. This is I don't know
how any of it will end.
I don't either. Let's go watch
it. But I will in about 40 minutes.
Yeah, da 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 da. Let's watch the shit.
Later, taters.
Crazy, Stupid, Love. Directed by John Requa and Glenn Ficarra. Cal Weaver, played by Steve Carell, is living the American dream. He has a good job, a beautiful house, great children, and a beautiful wife named Emily, played by Julianne Moore. Cal's seemingly perfect life unravels, however, when he learns that Emily has been unfaithful and wants a divorce. Over 40 and suddenly single, Cal is adrift in the fickle world of dating. Enter Jacob Palmer, played by Ryan Gosling, a self-styled player who takes Cal under his wing and teaches him how to be a hit with the ladies. And now, back to the boys.
Crazy Stupid Love.
Dudes.
Wow.
We're back.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That fucking movie.
That was great.
I might make my list. I might make my like top 10 list. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Well done. Well done movie.
That movie was so good.
That was an excellent movie. I'm really pumped up right now.
Now, first off, to the listeners out there,
mm-hmm.
I get that this movie was a big deal. And I've seen it around, like, but has it just been too new to be considered like a modern classic? Because it made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I just didn't realize like how good it was.
It is so well written. so well acted.
Yeah.
Like just a great movie.
Yeah.
Man, that ending.
Yeah.
Just came together. Everything came together so well.
Yeah.
Whew.
Surprising yet inevitable.
You have all those fingers and all those pies. All those pies go in the oven. They all come out at the same time.
Do you know what's also really hard to do? It's really hard to do all of that when you know that, like, if you saw the end, like, it's easy to come up with, like, okay, so this person, then this person, this person, but you can't be able to call it. You can't be able to just...
I had no idea.
Right before you started, you're like, I wonder if Emma Stone is like this. And I was like, ah. And then when it happened, I was like, fuck.
Dude, it was like, it's so shocking.
Mm-hmm.
It's so shocking. And then once it happens, it makes...
so much sense.
All right, give the breakdown and we can get into it. But before we even get into it, just...
Corey, you want to pull down this breakdown?
Oof.
You want to pull down your...
Yeah. Put on my drawers.
I'm pulling on your pants.
If you haven't seen it,
bridge break,
turn your head and cough.
I just want to tell everyone, if you haven't seen it, I don't know why you'd be listening to the third episode by now, but if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's on Netflix.
It's so good.
An incredibly good movie.
I'll also say this, because we were talking about it before it happened. If you haven't seen it and you want to watch it, don't listen to the rest of this podcast because there will be some spoilers.
Major spoilers coming up.
Bookmark it. Come back and listen to it.
Hour
later.
And 40 minutes. Sit down. Watch it. It's just
an
incredible movie.
I literally would go home and watch that movie again right now. Some popcorn.
Has Katie seen it?
It's like one of her favorites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You want me to... Here, I'll break down and then y'all pop in for the thing that I'm
John,
miss.
All I want you to do is watch Crazy Stupid Love with me. You're like, I want to watch Predator with you. B, I'm going to watch it with my guy friends.
Yeah.
And my son.
And my son. I've never seen it.
When he's see, nine. The newest World of Warcraft expansion came out. No, it didn't. Yeah.
So, okay. David Lindhagen, Bacon, him and Julianne Moore.
Bacon.
On a date.
Yeah.
Go out on a date, come home. She kisses, Lindhagen plants one on her.
Yeah.
Plants a hog on her. And a babysitter.
Oink, oink.
What's babysitter's name again?
Julie.
Jules opens the door, sees him. Julianne Moore gets super flustered. Is like, this is, you know, basically flustered. Babysitter gets mad. Babysitter goes home.
I don't want your slut money.
Yeah. Yeah. Babysitter won't take Julianne Moore's money because she's...
what does she call it?
She's no Judas.
Yeah.
Yeah, she calls her... doesn't she call it slutty money?
Slutty money.
Yeah. Slutty money. And she says, you're the only kid... like, your kids are the only kids I babysit.
Yeah.
She basically, you know, she's like, I love you and I love your family and I loved your husband more than anything.
Yeah.
And now you're running around on with the Hagen.
Nah, you freaking...
she goes home.
Such a good name, too. Yeah,
Lindhagen. She goes home, does a nude photo shoot. Pictures destined for Cal.
Yeah.
For Steve Carell. Then after that... this is where it might get a little fuzzy for me. I might need a little help. After that, Julianne Moore is sad, and Julianne Moore calls Carell,
who's
calls Cal
in the yard.
Who you realize he's in the yard spying in on her because he misses her.
Yeah,
could be creepy, but not creepy. It's out of love.
Yeah,
and she calls him for help with the stove, with the pilot light for something. Nothing's broken. Great scene where she's like, I need help with this thing. And he's watching her through the window and he's like, let me help you. I'm at home.
Does a scene like that have like a cinema name? Like where someone is lying.
Dramatic irony.
I was going to call it a double heartbreak fake out.
He breaks your heart left. He breaks your heart right. He swooshes with a teardrop.
That scene was like so
dramatic irony.
Unique in a movie. That's dramatic irony.
Dramatic irony.
What is the definition of dramatic irony?
Well, it's kind of double dramatic irony because.
So we're talking quadruple.
What? I had a joke about it. I think I talked about it in the. I say what dramatic irony is, and I forget in one of my shows, but dramatic irony is when the audience doesn't know, when the audience knows something that the characters don't.
Mm.
So that's double dramatic irony because Julianne Moore, so it's irony for Steve Carell if he was watching her and she didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's dramatic irony because we know that we can see Steve Carell lying and her lying. So I guess double double dramatic irony. But
it was just like such a unique scene.
Well, because we're
experiencing
it's also like very, it was very heartfelt the way it was acted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just loved it.
It was great. So then after that, Gosling's gone dark, by the way, on Carell. Gosling and Carell finally get back in touch, and Gosling's like, I'm a changed man.
Hi, I'm Ryan Gosling, but now I've gone dark. I'm dark Gosling.
Gosling gone dark. I've fallen in love. I'm going to cut myself. I'm in love. I'm no longer doing the pickup artist gig. Welcome to Ryan Gosling. But now I'm back.
I worship Baal.
You say Baal?
Yeah.
He's in a heavy metal band. He's worshiping Satan. He's also kind of a Batman character. That's Gosling gone dark.
And welcome to...
I'm always looking for this one. Nope. Where's the rock and roll one? Ah, that's what I was looking for.
Gosling gone dark. When we come back,
we're gonna load
one assignment.
I know. I gotta load this thing up. I gotta load up for every movie.
Or label make them.
Yeah, we gotta load them up.
Okay, go.
So Gosling calls Steve Carell and is like, "I'm a changed man. I've fallen in love. What do I do?" And like, I'm also meeting this person.
I'm meeting her parents.
Her mother today.
Yeah.
While this is happening, Steve Carell is like doing a project at Lowe's. He's like buying something for his wife with the kids.
You're Runs sure. into the babysitter's dad, who they're not friends anymore. Yeah,
Bernie. You're not sure what he's buying. And then this is the scene where everyone gets Lindhogged.
Yep.
Everyone gets log jammed.
Yeah. And then the babysitter, Bernie's wife finds something in her daughter's drawer.
Yeah.
Which is a
picture of her daughter.
Multiple pictures of her daughter naked.
She says,
how many times did we rewind it to
three?
And we had to default to subtitles.
Yeah. Subtitles. Cause she says,
for JJ.
Yeah. She says that when she sees her daughter's naked pics.
And then she shows them to the dad,
a good move.
Not a great move.
Like, she shows him to the dad to be like, look what I found of your daughter. But she doesn't preface it with anything. She just puts it in front of him while he's watching television.
Pictures of your 16-year-old daughter. You go...
17.
17. I found
not better.
Naked pictures of her daughter. You don't hand the father the pictures.
No. Yeah. Not at all.
Right? Am I wrong?
No. You say, sweetheart, even if you're going to show that, you say, sweetheart, I need to show you something. You're not going to like it, but we have to deal with this.
Yeah.
And then do that. You don't just slide them in front of him while he's watching TV.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
You don't want to see that.
Nobody wants to see that.
No.
No, I mean.
Except for.
I don't. Never
mind. What?
Steve Carell's son. Cal's son wants
She's
to
17.
See it.
She's 17. I don't want to see it.
Cal's son
wants to see it.
Because he's in love with her and he's younger. Yeah. So then Bernie.
The actress is 24.
What's the call in the field for that then?
What? When a character is,
I think the call in the field for all intents and purposes right now is I don't want to see that. I think that's the call.
No, stop you right there. I think
Kevin was like
right now.
Kevin was like
that's the call.
Kevin's gut reaction was like I want to see that, and then he processed the character 17. He's like I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
But then he's like she was 24 when it was taken.
That was the actress.
So what's the call in the field?
Well, it's the same call on the field. We would go to the booth first off and do a replay. But we would do that.
Taking it to Chuck upstairs.
And it's like, that's context, everything. If it's just like, if you told that guy, just like, want to see a picture of a naked woman, then he'd see it and he'd be like, whoa, it's my daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, if someone puts in your head that somebody is 17, I would be down to see naked pictures of a girl. But then I was like, oh, not a high schooler.
Yeah.
But the actress playing a high schooler,
you'd be down to see naked pictures of her.
As long as if I came right into the movie and they didn't tell me she was in high school and I just saw her IMDb.
Yeah.
Like if you were on set.
If you were on set hanging out
for a couple days.
So the call in the field is that it requires a lot of explanation. So it should probably be that you don't want to see.
And what we settled on was if we were on set, we'd ask the actress, not the character, can I see naked pictures of you?
I heard you're showing people naked pictures. May I be one of those people?
Sure. May I be one of those people? And then there's an article that comes out about you in the Hollywood Reporter, and you never work in the business again.
Right.
And that's what the past few years have been about.
And that's the call on the field. Okay, so Bernie sees
Thanks
these pictures.
To Bud Light Line for this episode's call on the field.
Hey. Can we not have you judging whether it's okay to look at 17-year-old girls' naked pictures?
Even if you're trying to justify it with the actress being... yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, sorry, Bud Light. This is sponsored by you.
Yeah.
Well, no, here's the thing.
We'll even take sponsorship from your shitty seltzer that you have.
Bud Light's out, but McDonald's UK is in.
Naked pictures? Yes, please.
From America? It's cozy.
Dude, you know what I say in my head when I see a 24-year-old's naked pictures, but she's playing a 17-year-old in a movie? I'm loving it. I am loving it.
Those pictures, I'm glad we spend a lot of time talking about, because those pictures we're going to talk about.
We're going to talk about.
For sure.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Yeah.
All right, so
Bernie gets them.
Burn the dad gets him.
Gets very mad.
Red.
Rightfully so.
Seeing red. Rightfully
like,
so.
Dude, red.
Gets in his car and she's like, Daddy, no. She sees that he sees him. He gets in the car, drives. She gets in the car behind him, drives. And then meanwhile, Cal shows up at his old house.
No, he's there. Julian Moore.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's why I need you. Cal's there. Julian Moore shows up as blindfolded. The son is wearing a baby blue tux jacket and he says, Mom, I got to lead you in here. There's a surprise. Dad's here.
Romantic music comes on.
We see the Lowe's project that he's been working on.
Yeah.
It's like the mini golf hole
that they met at.
First. Yep.
Windmill churning.
Yep. Oof. And then you can tell he's about to set up something super romantic.
Julian Moore's still blindfolded.
And then
Emma Stone.
Who walks in? Emma Stone. Nana. And then you're like, wait a second. What's Emma Stone doing here?
She says, hey, Daddy.
Yep.
Ryan Gosling's like, what?
And then, you see Gosling walk in. So you find out.
Steve Carell.
Carell like, says, no. Like, no.
Yeah. So you find out that Emma Stone is his daughter. And this is the guy he's going to meet. And the mom, or this is the mom he's going to meet.
I know I'm super high on this movie right now, but that's got to be like one of the best scenes in the movies.
I also didn't think about this when we watched it, but Gosling told Cal on the phone, I'm going to meet her mother.
Yeah.
Steve Carell wasn't even supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So Cal wasn't even supposed to be there. So it's not only like, had Cal not planned the romantic gesture, this would have just gone on for a while until it was like, well, I'm going to now go meet this guy's father, this girl's father.
Yeah.
So Cal wasn't even supposed to be
there. So baseline, that already is an insanely fun premise of like, who are you? Why are you here? Right. That's my daughter. You're
a dirtbag.
Right when Steve Carell is getting really worked up, Bernie comes in from the side.
Tackles
him.
Yeah.
And they start fighting. Ryan Gosling wrestles Bernie, the father of the babysitter, off.
Babysitter also runs
and
in.
Right when
Jules.
Yeah, Jules. Right when Gosling has him in a headlock, like the cherry on top of the beautiful dramatic mm-hmm. sundae. Kevin Bacon walks.
David Linhog.
Linhog.
Hey. Hey, guys.
And then Gosling walks up to Linhog.
Like a true sucker. Like true bro move, takes off his ring mm-hmm. and freaking jacks Linhog.
Says, who are you? He's like, you fucking ruined my
you
friend's.
You really hurt my friend.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And he hits him. And then the cops show up and then everything's wrecked.
And before the cops show up, and we'll break it down more.
Yeah.
Before the cops show up, like Gosling goes to like lay down. Put himself on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve Carell still at the end is just like, you're not allowed to see my daughter.
Right.
And still like, you think he's like, hey, thanks for having my back. You can't, he's just, the fun is over and he's like fucking pissed, which is kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, definitely. And then what's even more heartbreaking to me is then he sees his son who he's in, when Carell leaves, he sees his son who he's involved in this whole plot to get his wife back.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, after he's built this thing, he just goes, go home, go big or go home, huh, bud? And the kid just goes, go home, dad.
Oh man.
And then we do a great montage of flashing forward in time of just showing everyone's like messed up world. Mm-hmm. The son is deleting Jules's number. Jules is embarrassed in her room.
Yeah. All I gotta see familiar faces, worn out places.
That's not in it, but
no,
but that's like the vibe.
That's the vibe. It's a sad vibe. I picked up where you're going.
And I kind of find it funny. I find it kind of sad when it's crazy. Stupid loving is making me real mad.
Is it Supergrass?
No, I forget. It's
okay.
It's just from Donnie Darko.
And yeah, and Ryan Gosling's like telling Emma Stone, call your dad, and he's not doing it. So then we have a last scene at the bar. Steve Carell's been at the bar for a long time. He's been hanging out. He's like drunk, drinking in the middle of the day. Ryan Gosling comes in and like is like, your kids miss you. You need, like, what are you doing here? I love your daughter. And Steve Carell's like, stop giving me parenting advice.
Right.
Like, leave me alone. And he's like, you know, your son's eighth grade graduation is coming up. You should go to it. And that's where the movie ends. It's eighth grade graduation. The son makes a really like depressing when he's
well. The son just
you were about to be like, and that's where the movie ends. I thought you were doing a bit. Like,
oh no,
the movie's over then.
Yeah.
No, the graduation.
Yeah,
scene.
Yeah. Yeah, the graduation scene. Yeah, the son gets up. Well, Marissa Tomei,
so great,
gets up and says, you know, this is one of the most outspoken students that I've had, and fantastic joke line. Marissa Tomei gets up. The youngest daughter just goes, she's pretty.
And Julianne Moore's like, shut up. So good.
And then, but yeah, the kid gets up and does a speech about how love.
Shits the bed pretty hard.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I used to believe in love. I don't believe in it anymore. And finally, Steve Carell impulsively just, Cal stands up and just says, stop. Mm-hmm. And then Gosling, who's there with Emma Stone, is like, oh no. Mm-hmm. And then Cal gets up and gives a heartfelt speech about how he met someone, he took her out for ice cream, and his dad made fun of him for going on his first date, and he said, dad, I'm gonna date tons of women. And then he said, that's the first time I ever lied to my dad.
Yeah,
because I didn't date any more women.
Yeah.
And we also find out with the Gosling connection that they got pregnant with Emma Stone at 17, which is why they got together so young. But now he says that he doesn't regret anything about it. And then
he makes the grand romantic gesture that his son has been looking for. And yeah, kind of it all wraps up really nice and sweet. Everyone's mm-hmm. on good terms. Cal gives the Gosling his blessing. And then last thing we see.
So, well, then Carell and Julianne Moore have a really beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Where they're just standing there awkwardly. The movie ends. You don't know. I mean, you have a feeling, but Steve Carell even says like, and I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And then outside they just have like, they don't even kiss. She's just like, I've missed you. I don't know what the lines are specifically, mm-hmm. but it's just like, she's fucking bringing out the Academy Award level acting of just like mm-hmm. holding tears back. And he's looking at her and you can just tell they've been through a lot, but they love each other. And then John.
Robbie, the little high school kid goes up to the babysitter and he's like, you know, I'm going to look like my dad in 10 years. I'll go after you then. And she's like, I think that's a good plan. And he sticks out his hand to shake her hand. What does she give him?
She says, "Doesn't she say like this will tide you over till then, or these will get you through college,
get you through, high school?"
Through high school.
She hands him a stack of naked pictures of her.
Wow!
And then walks away. I feel like that little kid is such a little Kevin Doyle.
That
when he was like, he was giving his speech and he's like, I wasn't ashamed when I was, what I was doing in the dark under the covers.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And
that is a little Kevin
Doyle.
He's
like, I'm not going to be embarrassed about it. That is like, so that is, so you. And dude, if you were going into ninth grade and the 17-year-old gave you some Nike pics, how pumped would you have been?
It's kind of, what's kind of amazing about that storyline and the end of it is it's like, it's so riding the line of like, it's fucking creepy and awesome. Like they've done the work for her, for it to be like, you know what? This is like, this is not okay and perfectly okay at the same time.
Dude, you know? Like every single straight boy who lived through eighth grade, like immediately connected with that kid and was like,
it's the dream,
man. Mm. I am so jealous.
What if he just whipped out a smartphone and he was like, psh, I already got all this, and just starts scrolling through Pornhub? He's like, psh, okay. Hey, hit me when you get some these pro like, photos.
These are just nudes. I'm really into bukkake. Okay.
Hey, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. They're just ruined. But yeah.
Probably what it's like nowadays. That's really sad.
I'm horrible. Sure it is sad.
Yeah, totally.
When I was a freshman, our high school for years, they would have senior skip day. Where like all the seniors would just leave the school and go to college or whatever. It was a tradition in my school for senior skip day.
That's because you went to a John Hughes high school.
Yeah, I went to. Yeah, I did.
You did.
Everyone would go out and there was like a huge semicircle where like people could pull in and we had a huge, gorgeous front lawn. And all of the senior girls would get in their Jeeps and they would just ride around the front of the school topless.
What?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really?
100%.
Like you went to an 80s movie high school.
It was the weirdest thing.
Really?
It was crazy.
Like this is going back to our discussion about the babysitter pictures. Those were 17-year-olds doing that.
Yes.
That is so.
And
like
all the freshmen would just be in the front lawn just watching the attractive high school seniors just drive around naked.
Did the guys drive around with their dongs flapping?
No, the guys would drive the girl. The guys would be driving.
Wow. Like you went to an 80s. You went to
Porky's.
Yeah. You went to Porky's. It made no sense.
It made no sense why it happened. And then by the time it like got to my grade, they stopped doing that. But like for the first two or three years I was there.
Which is a bummer because some of the girls in your grade probably had some great tits.
Hey.
It's kind of a bummer.
Hey. Isn't that crazy?
That is really crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. I did realize one cool thing about this movie is that now that we've been watching so many of these movies, you get three age ranges. So you get some of the high school stuff that you get from like Clueless or 10 Things I Hate About You, which we're watching, you know, like not a lot.
Yeah.
Then you get some of like the middle range courting, dating, hooking up, kind of classic Sex in the City type stuff, really. Mm-hmm. That's like, this is how you have game. And like, are you hooking up? Or are you finding love?
Right.
Like Ryan Gosling is like, kind of like a, I don't know if there's another movie version, but it's like Carrie Bradshaw-ish, but he's like a playboy.
Yeah.
That range. And then you have the higher range of like, older, more complicated love and divorce and cheating. And you're playing all those notes.
Yeah.
It's like those could be three separate stories.
Well, yeah.
We've talked about how we've thought about on the back wall here, making the Pepe Silva chart of rom-coms. And when that movie ended, I was like, I feel like the writer there had to be a visual web. Head, but at least it was just like, okay, this person, this level of relationship, this level, this kind, like it touches on so many different things.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
How do you create that story? It's just so insane.
Well, I love movies, but usually I love movies. No, I love movies that do this. And it became like a pretty
big... what just happened in your head right there? Cause you came in with like, I love movies. And then you're like, I love movies. No, like you had to assure yourself that you loved them, and then
I was going to say,
like, I love movies.
I said I love movies that do this. I put a break and I stopped at movies, and I thought it'd just be funny if I was like, I love movies.
Oh.
But I love movies that do the weaving together.
Oh my gosh.
And then when it's done, but it was done so well with, you know, like Magnolia. And then there's movie called, Crash kind of sucks, but like Crash tried to do it, about like racism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like not that great. And Brokeback Mountain should have won Best Picture that year, but
Hot Takes with Kevin.
I think that's a hot take, but it's a take from a lot of people.
Yeah,
because Brokeback is such a good movie, which we need to watch.
Never seen it.
It's also a good mountain. Great mountain,
dude. That's the best mountain to have gay sex on.
Yeah,
dude. I want to watch.
Speaking of things going on outside your marriage, that's a great.
That is a great mountain.
It's a great mountain. That's some crazy stupid lover,
dude. If I ever run into the character Jake Gyllenhaal from Brokeback Mountain, I'll be like, "What's your favorite mountain?" There's only one, dude.
He'd be like, "Vail."
Yeah,
Vail. I'm a big snowboarder.
I like Banff.
But there's another one called like 13 Conversations About One Thing.
Yeah,
and when it came out, I watched it and I loved it, and I haven't heard about it since. But I remember it being one of these movies that my guess, if I went back and watched it, it would be good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, but I think that one was probably almost a little too, surgical. That's like so many different things and then they all come together.
Mm-hmm.
This was done as a fucking secret.
Yeah.
This was just like, it slowly came together because it wasn't like, it's kind of easy to be like, oh, and then at the end, they are all at this car crash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you don't have to have relationships. You just have to choose a thing.
Right.
This was fucking crazy.
Stupid.
And stupid. Wow. And loved. Because it was done in a way that explored all these different subjects. And then when they're all in the same room at the end, there's not a single person where you're just like, yeah, but why is the bartender there?
Yeah.
Right.
Why is the bartender that served, like, she wouldn't be at the
right.
You're like, no, all of these people, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I would love to listen to how the writer came up with this idea.
Dude.
Well, it says the writer, he started writing it in 2009, came out in like 2012. I mean, there's not a lot of info on it on our main source, Wikipedia, but it'd be great I guarantee you there's an interview out there with him you should read, but it says that he started writing it about love amongst a group of people, and it was based on his own experiences.
Whoa.
And he wrote it with Carell in mind. And then
when Carell is going through the like his first night sleeping with Marissa Tomei's character,
mm-hmm.
you can tell that scene in particular was written for Steve Carell.
Yeah.
It's very,
very 40-year-old.
Yeah. 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 Totally. They said Carell read it and within a week he was like, I'm in. And it started with a $2.5 million budget. It was pretty low.
Yeah.
You know what the final budget was?
It was like $30 million.
50.
How do they even, I don't even know what they spent that on.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, you got to think about it, probably star fees. You got all those stars.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's what it is. That it's just like they kept on their like.
I mean, you probably.
We got Julianne Moore. We got
Gosling.
We got Gosling.
We got Emma Stone.
Yeah.
It was mainly
Marissa Tomei.
Inkjet ink because someone from the set kept on stealing the pictures, Kevin.
The pictures. And those cartridges.
Some guy just hanging out.
Yeah.
I will say that one of the things that, I mean, there's such a difference between A-list and B-list, mm-hmm. and even A-list and A-minus list,
mm-hmm.
that it's like, I've heard other people say this, but it's like in Entourage, they don't buy that Adrien Grenier is Aquaman. You know what I mean? Like he's a great actor, but it's like, you don't buy that he's, and there is.
That's people's criticism of Entourage.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I couldn't get on board with.
That's one thing.
Yeah, not the fact that his fucking driver turtle becomes like a successful business mogul.
Yeah.
Or that Johnny Drama is like a celebrity.
Yeah.
It's like, or that his buddy from the Bronx is his agent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I see why Entourage is problematic now. Adrien Grenier's character couldn't possibly be in Medellin.
Oh man.
Oh man.
That's funny, John. That's real funny.
Thanks, guys.
But in this, the difference between who else would have been cast as Ryan Gosling, even if you get someone who's like incredible.
Yeah.
Getting someone at Gosling's level takes this movie to the next level.
100%.
Or even I'd say the same for Steve Carell, because I'm not, sometimes when it's full comedy, I'm not the biggest Carell head.
Yeah.
But in this, man, those fucking tear jerking moments.
Yeah.
To be able to hit those notes of what actor did we mention when we talked last time, John? There was somebody that we mentioned that it's like, if they would have done it, they would have bombed on the comedy.
Yeah.
And he just nails the comedic moments. Dude, and then
so freaking good, man.
And then you get Julianne Moore, her tearing up.
Jeez, that movie was awesome.
Yeah.
What, this is like a good thing I want to talk about, which is like one of the coolest moments too, was when Steve Carell explains why he doesn't give his blessing. Because as a character, you're like, you're wrong currently right now.
Yeah.
But he's like, when he just says, he's like, I know too much. I'll never give you the blessing. I just know too much. And I feel like, and then what's Gosling come back with?
I don't remember.
You're a good father, Cal.
Oh, yes, father? Yes. Yeah.
Like that right there is like, is just two men who had this connection of like, this is how you fuck. Like that was like their whole connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even though he hasn't seen Gosling's change.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't seen his evolution.
Evolution.
Yet. And so he can't totally trust it. But that was kind of like both of them, like Steve Carell's shame of being like, I fucked 9 people and I miss my wife still.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Gosling being like, yeah, I fell in love and I am a scumbag. I hurt so many women probably.
Yeah.
And I just thought that moment was like so good. So justified in all of their characters.
It also, when we talked about like good writing and storytelling, there's the whole like full character journey as they mm-hmm. come back to they end up in the same place, but changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's physically, they ended up in the same place that they met each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't they meet in the bar?
Yeah.
They met each other there,
yeah.
But they're in totally different places.
Well, it's interesting because Steve Carell's character is actually not in a different place. He's like, at that scene, he is still
choosing.
Mm. Yeah. He is still down. He's lower than he was.
True.
He's like there drinking during the day, like not just complaining about David Lindhagen, but now lamenting over the fact that Lindhagen's this, his son hates him, his daughter's dating a scumbag. So he's like in a worse.
That's true. I guess he hasn't finished his journey yet.
Yeah, he's like right at the bottom yet. Where
I
think his end point is like it's after the graduation when he's like, you know, dressed nice, more confident.
Yeah.
Like,
I think also his maybe it's not the end of his journey, but the choice that he makes is seeing how his behavior has, because he tried really hard. That's what's kind of crazy when you try and like change, but you haven't changed the underlying mm-hmm. part of things. He tried really hard. That's so romantic what he did for Julianne Moore. And then he fucked it up, because whether you're talking about like spirituality or storytelling of like, or therapy of like, but he has not hit rock bottom. He hasn't dealt with his like hubris yet.
Yeah.
His pride of or whatever, because he wants to choose her, but he hasn't dealt well. He gets thrown for quite a wrench.
Yeah.
But still, like, that's why when his son says like, go home, dad, because he makes a fool out of himself because he hasn't been like, who am I? But then what's really cool is then seeing his change happens when he sees like his behavior and how it's affected his son and not just himself.
Yeah.
Cause when you're at a bar drinking, you're feeling bad for yourself almost no matter what you're doing
in
some way. And he's just like, all this stuff happened to me. And then to see like, oh shit, my son was so happy and look what has happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought that was pretty powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think Tomei does after this?
She flicks Steve Carell off as he's giving his heartfelt speech.
Yeah.
She's back at the bar.
You think her and Lindhagen hook it up?
Ooh.
They should.
They totally should. Yeah.
They should. I mean, I wonder, that's maybe kind of where this is good, that it's like you think for a while of like, what could her resolution be? Mm-hmm. And maybe you don't need it because there's so many bows tied up. But her just like giving the finger, I guess I don't need to force it, but it's like maybe that's her just being like, yeah, when you do that shit, like you hurt people. Why? She doesn't give a fuck that it's like, well, I'm glad you're back together.
No, she got caught up in the blades of the whole thing.
Yeah,
totally. In the lawnmower of love. That's a punk song. It's called Lawnmower of Love. And then there's just a part where it just says, sometimes we get caught up in the blades.
It's true.
It's very true. She got caught up in the blades.
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be 42 girls.
Jackie Robinson.
There's going to be 42 girls all on a text chain, all just being like, see fucking Gosling. You're in love now.
Oh, he'll become, what was the West Elm meme? The guy from West Elm?
West Elm Caleb.
That's who Gosling is.
Yeah. And it's just like, you're getting married now.
Yeah.
Like, totally. Remember the year and a half you were into choking?
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Well, now he's married and into choking.
I don't know if she's into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good girl.
Let me get this on the record now. I'm not.
But we're not,
you have experience.
Wait, what?
It's in his special.
Choking.
Oh, that's the right. That's it. Yeah.
It's just like.
He's into joking.
I'm into joking.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched that show Impractical Jokers?
Yeah.
This was an awesome movie. We hope you loved it. We hope you loved the conversation that we had. It was so fun. If you haven't already, please check out our Patreon. We got new exciting things on Patreon. What movies have we done on Patreon?
Princess Bride. We did a Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman. Princess Bride.
We got really good shit on the Patreon.
We did Pretty Woman. We did Princess Bride. We did.
There's others.
You've got mail.
That's what it was. Yeah.
We're building it out.
We're getting our head straight.
But check out our Patreon.
We're also throwing up Sex and City rewatches. Yep. We're doing some on the main feed. We're going to at some point watch all of Sex and the City again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Check out the videos on YouTube. We made fun of it for so long, but mash that like and subscribe button. Stop by there.
What's up, YouTube?
Drop us comments. We're just trying to grow this thing. You can't be mad about that.
Yeah. We're trying to just keep on building until more and just like that. We want your suggestions for any movies. We're working on getting some interviews going with cast members from Just Like That, mm-hmm. and just like people out in the world that want to talk. I mean, people want to talk about Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And we want to talk to people about that and rom-coms. So if you have any suggestions,
you know what we should do? We should have Dan Clay on because he just came out with a book.
Oh, cool.
We should find out what his favorite rom-com is and watch it with him.
That would be amazing. Yeah. We should totally do that.
Yeah. So thank you all for listening. Let us know any movies we should watch. Join the Patreon. Give us a like and subscribe and review, and we love you.
Later, taters.
Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.